The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This week we're doing a twofer. We're doing Star Trek, the motion picture, and we're going to talk about first episode of Picard. One's good, one's not so good. John and I had a blast with this, though. As I say in the podcast, negative is easy, and we just had so much fun with this one. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Twitter. It was a good time. Let's head into the store. Hey, John, this is the Brightside Chat. I just wanted to remind you that, preface this show. Oh. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Oh, I'll be good when this is over.
Oh, man. You're like burying the lead.
I am not. There's no shocker here. It's. But we do have, we have Picard to talk about.
Yeah.
And so we'll have some good stuff. Do you want to just get right into it? Because we don't have any news to speak of. We didn't, no,
sure.
Nothing like that. Let's just get right into it. We'll start with this trailer that we both heard. And this trailer is going to be played completely unedited. Usually I try to speed things up, like, so I'll take out some just music parts, but I think that doesn't do justice to what exactly this is. So what you're about to hear is how it was played, as this is supposed to entice you. So we'll listen to that, and then we'll talk about Star Trek, the motion picture. I use that term loosely.
The human adventure is just beginning. William Shatner,
take us out,
is Captain James T. Kirk. Leonard Nimoy is Mr. Spock. DeForest Kelly is Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy. James Doohan is Lieutenant Commander Montgomery Scott. George Takei is Lieutenant Commander Sulu. Majel Barrett is Dr. Christine Chapel. Walter Koenig Lieutenant Pavel Chekhov. Michelle Nichols is Lieutenant Commander Uhura. Stephen Collins is Commander Willard Decker. Percy Scambata is Lieutenant Ilya. Gene Roddenberry's production of a Robert Wise film. Coming this Christmas from Paramount.
All right. They had to put motion picture in the title. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known this was a motion picture. It was so slow.
It was slow.
This was brutal.
So, well, here's what I'll say. 50-year-old me liked it a lot more than 9-year-old me did.
Really?
Well, I imagine so. Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, and I can't even tell you. Honestly, I don't know when the last time I watched this movie was. I mean, it might have been 1979. I don't know. I'm sure I've seen it at least once on home
HBO.
Video.
Yeah, but, I think when I was a kid, that's where I saw it. I didn't see it in the theater.
But I mean, I haven't seen this movie in a long time. But here's the deal. Like, as a young kid, you know, at 7 years old, I didn't know what a Star Wars was. You know what I mean? Like, right. I had never heard of it. I wasn't anticipating it. But I knew what Star Trek was. So, you know, when I saw Star Wars in the theater, obviously, you know, there's no need to revisit how we felt about going to see Star Wars. You know, it basically became the fabric of my entire life for the last 41
right.
years. But I was actively excited to go see Star Trek in 1979 because I loved Star Trek. So I wanted to go see that. As a 9 year old, this was not what I wanted at all. Like there was, this was very cerebral. There was no action at all. It, you know, as
that's
a
why I said it barely can be considered right. a motion
that's what I'm
picture.
Saying. As a 9 year old kid, like this was not something I enjoyed at all. Like I really disliked it. Again, at 50 years old, I'm not going to say it was a great movie. And I mean, I didn't love it by any means, but I mean, I liked it more now than I liked it when I was nine because I understood it more now than I did as a 9 year old.
I understood the story.
Yeah.
I thought the execution was one of the worst. I wanted
well, it
to be
was
executed.
Brutal. It was brutal. it was like that scene where they are taking the shuttle to the Enterprise.
Oh my God.
It was just like, all it was it was Starship porn. That's all it was. Like you right. were just watching the Enterprise for like literally 25 minutes. Like it was just like so long.
You know what's so funny?
I thought the movie was half over when it was done and it wasn't.
We'll get into the time. I'll just jump to it right now. I come downstairs to watch this movie and Jen's like, I'm just going to watch this movie. It's only, I bought the 6-disc set.
Yeah, I have
watched this, right? It was $29, 6 movies. Yeah. Can't go wrong. Well, apparently you can.
Well, no, they get better from here.
Yeah, I know. And so I look at it. She goes, how long is it? And I look and it said 112 minutes. I'm like, awesome. I was like in my, I seriously nodded off.
Yeah.
It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I said, I haven't been feeling well, so that might have been part of it. But I nodded off. I honestly don't know how Spock ended up on the ship because I woke up and there was Spock. So
yeah,
I missed like
a shuttle. He just inserted himself onto the ship, basically.
Oh, okay. That's what I figured. And the movie was so slow moving, I didn't dare rewind.
Yeah.
For fear I'd go into a coma.
Well, I might go back in time. I don't know.
I wish I could go back in time because I'd get my 2 hours back.
Yeah.
But it was it turned out when I came upstairs, my wife's like, that was longer than I thought. And I was like, you're telling me. But I had read Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, it was 132 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had read Wrath of Khan. Yeah. It's like, but this movie, it could have been 90 minutes.
It definitely could have.
If they, like, some of the scenes, never mind. Like, I thought that Enterprise scene was pretty cool until it was, like you said, like 20 minutes later, and you're like, and all I could imagine is that was just fan service of people wanting to see the Enterprise on the big screen for
the
first
time.
Well,
right, because they hadn't seen it in, well, they never had seen it on the big screen. Right, and they hadn't seen Star Trek at that point in
10 years,
right, because the show went off in 69, I believe.
And this was 79.
Right.
And so I understood that. I'm not a Trekkie.
There were so many scenes with, like, transporters and engine rooms and just so much stuff that did not have to be there that didn't further the story at all. I was just like,
how about how long they held the shot on a character?
Right.
Like he would say something and whatever character it was and they just held the shot on him.
Yeah. Well,
and it was like, they leaned into William Shatner's speaking.
Well, and like when they were in the wormhole too, and it's just like, we're just panning from character to character to character, and it's like, nothing's happening. And I'm like, oh my God. And there was so much staring and exposition, and I was like, what is happening with this? I didn't remember, again, cause It has been a minimum 30 years since I've seen this movie. Like, no lie. So, I mean, I had forgotten, you know, a lot of it.
I was very excited to see this. I had asked you last week because Picard was coming out. Right. And I said, you want to do Star Trek, the motion picture? Well, we haven't done Star Trek yet. I'm not a Star Trek guy. I've never seen, like, I've seen the movies. That's right. It. I've seen the shows when I was a kid, but I never got into it. And I always preface this Star Trek talk with, I'm a Coca-Cola guy, not Pepsi. Nike, not Reebok.
Right.
You know, it's like, right. Exactly. But it's not that I didn't like Star Trek. I just didn't get into it like I did with Star Wars. So, you know, I enjoyed these movies when they were on HBO. I was a kid. I watched them. Clearly, I didn't watch this one that much. Otherwise, I would have remembered to avoid this subject.
Well, what was that? When did I text you back?
Your text read, it's not that good.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we got to start somewhere, you know, and I want to do Star Trek. And I hadn't seen Picard yet, but I knew it was coming out. I knew you were going to watch it. And it's a topic. So,
now, again, to be fair, I actually did enjoy the story and the premise of this movie.
Yes.
Like, I liked...
but it could be told in 15 minutes.
Exactly. I liked the idea of it, but there was just so much... It felt like they were like, we have an hour's worth of story, but we need 2 hours for the movie. And, like, they just... It was just so much filler that didn't have to be. There were so many shots of just the ship. And I'm telling you, it was starship porn, the entire thing.
Right.
Because all of them, when they, like, were taking position above V'ger's ship, and it's like, we're going to go 5 meters up and do, and it's like, you literally watch them in real time. Like, I felt like I was on the ship with them, and they were just looking back and forth at each other while they're
I'm sitting in my theater going, how do I hit warp speed?
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Like, I felt like I was there with them taking the journey.
You know what you do? Hit the 1.5 times on your DVD player.
Yeah.
It does speed it up. You can still understand the words.
Right.
I actually did it accidentally once, and I didn't know it, and then all of a sudden one of them scampered across the room. I was like, nobody moves like that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm on 1.5 times speed.
Right.
I was like, that helped.
No, I used to listen to podcasts that way because, you know, you can get through them.
Yeah, you get the information a little quicker. Yeah. How about there is zero, or in my opinion, there's zero excuse for the lack of special effects on this movie.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that when I was watching it, and I was thinking, well, this was definitely a 1979 movie, but we had gotten Star Wars 2 years
and
earlier
Superman.
Than that. And Superman, and the special effects were, I mean, again, we're not going to get today's level of special effects. But, I mean, we didn't even get Star Wars-level special effects on this. And
I don't think we got Star Trek the TV show's special effects.
Right.
It was the one – speaking of your, you know, Enterprise porn, when that – I guess it was an elevator. For all intents and purposes, they repurposed an elevator box.
Yeah.
When they transported over to the Enterprise.
Right.
And who was that? It was Kirk and
Scotty.
Yeah. Did you notice that it looked like it was like a flat Kirk?
Well,
it looked like two flat Stanleys.
It looked like they were projected.
Flat.
It looked like they were projected onto
the glass.
How they did it. I think they were projected onto the glass.
It was horrible.
Like, it looked so bad. I was like,
horrible.
It was like flat. Yeah, I was like, it looked like a decal of them that was on the outside of the ship.
But the thing moved like an elevator too, like wicked slow, like moving through space, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm
telling you, that was a rough scene. I was like, oh my God, I feel older. Once they got there.
The only redeeming factor of that movie is either the next time you're here or the next time I'm there. We have to sit and watch that movie together and just, like, drink
it
and
needs
laugh
the,
our asses
it needs
off.
The Mystery Science Theater 3000 treatment.
Exactly. This is an absolute awful, awful movie. And after the fact, like I do with most of the movies, I'll go on to IMDb. One of the first quotes, one of the first, like, in their, like, you know, notes or whatever. William Shatner, when he saw this movie, said, "Well, that's done."
Yeah. Honestly, looking back,
he didn't like it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Looking back on that time frame now, like, I can't believe there was a Star Trek 2.
That's
because
John, can you read my notes?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I have two notes for this show.
I
slow.
Oh, slow. I thought it said slow.
Surprised they were able to make a two. Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, if you look at it now, I did look on the IMDb though. It had a $35 million budget back in 1979.
This was made for $35 million?
Yes. And it grew.
What'd they spend it on?
Well, I don't know.
It looked like it was all made in one room.
According to IMDb, it cost $35 million and it grossed $89 million. So that's not a failure, you know.
No,
I mean, it actually made money and it actually won some awards. So it was critically, it did well because it said it was nominated for and won some awards.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
What I'm saying is, I guess that's what justified Star Trek II,
right?
Because, you know, they tripled their money, so. You know, you can't really go wrong there. But the only thing, looking at those numbers, the thing that stuck out to me was it said it made $89 million domestically, but then it said the worldwide gross was $89 million. So, like, was it not released in any other countries? Like, I don't understand how that could be. Either that or the numbers aren't right.
Because, right. Let me read you the Shatner quote. So this is from IMDb. It's like the third one down on their trivia things. William Shatner, who saw the completed movie for the first time at the world premiere, was struck by the overall sluggishness of the movie and was convinced that the Star Trek franchise died then and there.
That day.
he reminisced, quote, "Well, that's it. We gave it our best shot. It wasn't good, and it'll never happen again."
Yeah, it was good while it lasted.
But having recalled his reaction 15 years later, he has added, quote, "Shows you what I know."
Right.
End quote. Now, I think you were dead on. And I think
it literally could have been
the reason it did its money is because
of
the fan base.
Right.
But the fan base was so strong.
Right. And I mean, Star Trek became more cerebral later on, like when we got to the Next Generation and some things. But the original series was at more action. You know, then, like, Captain Kirk was like the swashbuckling captain that was always out there punching people and shooting people.
Yeah.
You know, Picard was never that. Like, he was the general that stayed behind the lines. Like, he very rarely went down to the planet. You know,
right.
It was always the first officer. And that's the way it would really be. Like, cause in a real life situation, the captain of the ship wouldn't be the one going down on away missions. You know,
right.
I mean, he wouldn't be putting himself in that danger. So, this was kind of like the first step towards becoming more cerebral, but there was literally nothing happened. I don't think they had a phaser in the entire movie. Nobody had a weapon. Nobody punched anybody happened.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that now that you say that. It's like
nobody had a phaser. Now, and then let's get into the wardrobe. Like, arguably, it took some of the coolest costumes in science fiction. Like, because the original series costumes were cool, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You had the colors denoting, like, your specialty. You know, you had command, you had...
Well, the jumpsuits denoted almost your religion.
Yeah, exactly. And what was the belt? Like, I don't even know what that belt buckle thing was supposed to be. Like, is that their... I don't even know what that was. But, like, again, like, why was that change made? Like, I don't understand, like,
right.
Why those costumes would change to that. Now, again, the jumpsuit idea stuck because when you got to the Next Generation, everybody was wearing jumpsuits. So, like, that idea stuck going forward. But
I haven't seen the Next Generation.
But you've never seen them you've never seen a picture of them, though? Like, their costumes are jumpsuits. It's like a unitard.
But they but that's what I'm saying. It's like, but what I have seen, that's what I was going to say, is like they fit better than they did on the males in this one.
Well, and it wasn't the thing that made the thing that stuck out on those costumes was that stupid belt buckle thing. Like, if it wasn't for that.
There were other things sticking out, too.
Yeah, there were, but I'm just saying.
I was like, hey, you know, on my big screen in my theater, I was like, seriously.
I don't need to see that.
Jesus.
But yeah, it's like, what?
It's like nobody on set saw that?
I know. I was like, they made Robin wear a different, you know, change his outfit on the Batman show because he was showing too much.
They have one guy. It looked like the poor guy. It looked like it was tucked into the band of his underwear while he was sticking out the side. It was awful. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. It's like,
And then, like, Kirk had a different outfit on every scene. Like, he went from the Admiral's jumpsuit to the Captain's jumpsuit to then some white short sleeve shirt with, like, a 70s disco neck happening. Yeah. And, so I don't know. I guess they had a different uniform for every day of the week. Yeah, I just thought I actually thought the interior of the Enterprise looked better on the 60s TV show than it did in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought the set design was poorly done. I thought the wardrobe was poorly done. Like, from top to bottom, I don't know what the thought process was that went into this, because you had an established favorite franchise already. Like, why were you tinkering so much with it? You know?
Let's see how much they really liked it.
Exactly.
Let's see how far we can push these people.
Can I tell you what I loved? What I absolutely love.
Yeah, sure. Please do. This is the bright side.
My favorite scene of the entire movie is when Ilea shows up on the ship for the first time. The ball, you know, Ilea. Right? She goes to the bridge, and Decker recognizes, like, she knows Decker right away. And Decker's looking at him, and Decker says something like, "I'm so happy to have you on this ship." And Kirk says, "I'm happy to have you on this ship, too." And immediately she says, "My vow of celibacy is on record. Can I go to work now?" First of all, it was like so uncalled for, but it was like,
that's what I mean.
They were leaning so hard into the fact that Kirk slept with literally everybody on the entire galaxy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the
is
series.
That what that was in reference to?
Oh, yeah, he slept with everybody. It didn't matter if they were green, yellow, you know, whatever. Kirk got around. So that was what that was referencing. But I was like, I laughed like out loud because I didn't remember that being in the movie.
Yeah, I heard that line and I was like, that was a little inappropriate. Yeah. But I'm like, okay. But yeah, see, that's the thing.
His reputation preceded him there.
Apparently. And that was the other thing I didn't know going into this. It's like, again, I'm actually looking forward to doing more and more Star Trek with you, because I'm not a Star Trek person, so we can go through and, you know, who knows how long the podcast is going, but we have enough material here to last us forever.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that this was picking up from the TV show from years before. I didn't know it was in continuity with that.
Yes. It was. Like, he had, again, been promoted to, you know, his 5-year mission was done. He had been promoted to Admiral and basically had, you know, been taken away from commanding a ship, which is what, you know, he was best at. So
from what I understood, though, is it wasn't supposed, it was in our time, 10 years after the last show.
Right.
But it wasn't supposed to be 10 years because they did a lot. One of the things that I think what they spent all their money on was the special effects to make them look younger. That's one of the things that I read, is like they'd spent a lot of time on lighting and special camera tricks to hide how much they've really aged since the last episode.
Well, right, because if you, like, McCoy wasn't a young man when he did the TV show, even.
Right.
Like, you know, he was already in his, you know, it had to be 40s at least. And so now you're 10 years
and
later.
And back then, that's like 50s now.
Right. Right. So, yeah, obviously they had aged. Yeah, and I don't know if it specifically said how much time was supposed to have lapsed between, you know, the end of the show and the beginning of the movie. I don't know if it was 10 years time or not. You know, but yeah, it was definitely in continuity. Like, it picked up pretty much where the show, you know, again, this was a show that never really had an ending. You know, it just got canceled. So, like, the 5-year mission never completed.
And that's what they bounced back with?
Well, but I mean, it was, it found its life in reruns. Like, right. It wasn't,
it got a cult following that just grew.
Exactly. It wasn't hugely successful. Like, it kind of limped its way through three seasons on TV and didn't really find its audience until until reruns. So it never got his 5-year mission never ended. Like, we never got a scene where they went back to Earth and he came off the ship and said, I'm done, because
right.
It just got canceled. We're kind of left to assume that that's what happened, and he got promoted to be an admiral and what have you. So I thought that was cool. Again, going back to 79, that would have been something that people would have enjoyed, because they didn't have closure from the TV show.
Right.
Like, nobody really knew what happened to these guys because the show just ended. So I think that would have given some of that closure to people, to the audiences, when they go to see that, because now we know what happened. They finished their mission and came back. The relationship between the characters was still, it was done well in this movie. Again, if you were not a watcher of the show, like, you don't know the relationship between Kirk and Spock, or Kirk and McCoy, or McCoy and Spock.
I have a general, I've seen enough of the movies, right. I know them.
That was all in character. Like, everything was kind of the way it should be. McCoy and Spock were always kind of at each other. Spock was standoffish to everybody. All that was in line, and it played pretty well. So, I thought they did a good job with the characters. The acting was just as top-notch as it was on the TV show. So, you can't really... this should be there's a sarcasm bubble on the top.
Oh, okay. I'm like, yeah.
Lydia walked in, and I wasn't going to put her through watching this movie, so I was trying to watch it before she got home from work. And she came in, and there was like 35 minutes of it left when she came in. And happened with Shatner, and she was like, oh my God, the acting there is terrible. And I said, well, it's William Shatner. It's Shatner acting. So, none of these are guys are great thespians, but they all are who they are. He's great because he's William Shatner. It's not because he's a great actor. So,
yeah. What I thought was interesting too is maybe at the time I didn't pay attention, and maybe you can correct me, but this is weird that they did a show and then a movie and used all the same people. Because if you think about nowadays, you don't see that. Like, what everything we just went through with the CW.
Right.
And DCEU, it's always different people. If you're going to make a movie out of a show, you usually don't take the same people.
Yeah, but I think in 1979, that wouldn't have flown.
They
wouldn't have been able to say. Because, we've rebooted Star Trek now. We have the Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and all that.
Right.
But you couldn't have done that in 79. I don't think you would have. If you said, oh, this is Captain Kirk, but it's,
because everybody loved those people.
Right.
Right.
As evidenced by the trailer we listened to earlier, the draw was those actors playing those parts. It wasn't, it wasn't just Star Trek. Everybody wanted to see those guys.
Yeah. That trailer is just, I'll probably try to tweet that out too. If I can remember on Monday to put that out along with the show, that trailer, because it's like seeing it is difficult. It's like there really wasn't much else to it. The ending of it sounds like, and I want to look into that. I meant to talk about that right when we came in with the show, with the end of it. The end of it sounds like the THX trailer.
Yeah.
For the THX sound that George Lucas does. Which, it's in there. And that trailer is from 1970, well, probably 78.
78.
Really. Oh, no, it could have been 79.
Yeah,
because it came out Christmas.
Yeah, I say this came out at Christmas of 79. So,
right.
That'll be interesting if I see some. In summertime or something,
Right. That'll be interesting if I see that's where they got that sound from. I know that THX sound, this is kind of a tangent, but in the home theater thing, that THX sound is meant like to hit these certain notes that when you're testing a system, it tests certain frequencies. But enough of that. One of the things I wanted to say when we were talking about this movie is negative is so easy. It's so easy to be negative, because I'm sitting there going, I have oodles of information. And like when I see a movie that I really like, I don't know about you, but it's like I want to write stuff down and like just like key words, like just to remember, because there's stuff you don't want to forget to talk about, right. You know. And then with this movie, I'm like, I could talk another, you know, half hour without just off the top of my head, just riffing on it, because yeah. I'm like, it's just so easy. Negative is just so easy to bash. This was a tough one.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, and this is, you know, this won Academy Awards and everything, 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Do you think they tried to do something like that? Because that had a lot of slow in it as well.
I'd say that's pretty dull as well. Like, that movie is...
And I'm wondering if they were trying to mirror that and be different from Star Wars. Because they had, like you said, Star Wars had come out 2 years earlier.
Right.
And
it should have been the roadmap, actually. Like, that should have been the roadmap for this movie. Because of how wildly successful it was.
Right.
You know?
But if you deviated too much from the TV show and went more Star Wars, like, I think they would have been, like, ridiculed for that.
But
no,
because the TV show was more like Star Wars. Like, Star Wars was this big swashbuckling space adventure. Well, the original series was like
space western.
Well, right, but the original series was like that. It was swashbuckling. Like, again, Kirk was always down on the planet. He was always punching somebody and always kissing some girl. Like, he was, like, it had adventure and it had.
Sounds like high school.
Yeah. But I mean, it had more adventure, like, again, like Star Wars was. Now, Star Trek did have episodes too that were more thought-provoking. Like, they had cerebral episodes. Like, some of the themes and the things that Gene Roddenberry were going for with that show were pretty revolutionary for the 60s. You know, I mean, your first, like, African-American main cast member with Lieutenant Uhura. You know, you have a Russian guy, an Asian guy. Like,
yeah.
It was, you know, very diverse. It was, you know, equality, like men and women.
Well, they
were
also
equal.
Did
like,
the,
there was so yeah. much stuff that he was ahead of his time on, but at the heart of it, it was just adventure. And
right.
if they would have taken that to the movies, again, like Star Trek II was, like we're jumping ahead of ourselves, but Star Trek II was much more like the TV show was. There was a lot more adventure
right.
and fighting and they, I just don't.
That's
know
the
why
one I remember most.
I just don't know why they
up.
Went the route that they went with this movie. Like, I don't know what they were trying to. Because think about it again. The idea to make this movie was to capitalize on the success of the TV show that was, you know, or the success of it basically in syndication, or to kind of bring back the franchise or whatever. And why right. you would want to do something so radically different from what you were trying to capitalize on. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And judging by Shatner's...
Other than the characters, it was so far away from Star Trek that if it
right.
wasn't, if he wasn't named Kirk, I wouldn't have even known it was a Star Trek movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was just so different. And I don't know why... Because I don't know what they were going for or what the thought process was, you know, in 1979.
Right.
I'll never know, really, I guess. As a kid, this was not my type of movie at all, you know?
No, and as an adult,
as
it wasn't
adult,
my
it really
type of movie.
Either.
It was a tough one.
But, you know, like I said, I do like the idea of it, though. Like, I like V'ger. Like, I like the idea of this probe that we launched that took its mission so far, you know what I mean? Like,
it came back, literally came back around.
Right. And like when that was revealed, like that was pretty cool. Now I remembered that from, like I knew that.
Yeah.
From being a kid. But like the idea that it went and it collected so much information. The only thing I kept thinking is that they were supposed to, like when it merged with Decker or whatever happened, it was supposed to transmit its data back to Earth. And that didn't happen. Because I was thinking, how advanced would Earth become if it instantly had all this information that this thing had collected from the far side of the universe for all those years, you know, for 300
right.
years. But it didn't transmit that data back. And so I was like, well, that was weird, you know?
Well, I think, didn't they explain it? Like, it became more like Spock. It got so much information that it became so logical. and everything right. was just based off, there was zero emotion.
Right, no clearly. Emotion. It became a sentient being because it had amassed so much data. But so yes, but it was emotionless. Yeah. You know, that's why it needed to merge with Decker, because it needed that whimsy and that human spirit or whatever. But the whole premise was that it was going to merge so he could give it the final sequence so it could transmit its data back to Earth.
Right.
And that, like I said, that they kind of just skipped right over that, because right. I was thinking to myself, man, imagine all of a sudden getting all that information, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
well, it's basically that it's a 79 version of, actually it's not, it's only 5 years before Terminator. Yeah. And Terminator, the basis of Terminator is pretty much the same thing. Like, the machine becomes self-aware.
Right.
And then realizes that we're the enemy.
Right.
And that's basically what V'ger did.
Right, because
it became self-aware, and it's
carbon-based
only
units were a pox on the machine. Like,
exactly.
They were weighing down the Enterprise, keeping it from reaching its full potential, you know?
Exactly. Like, yeah, we're slowing down the progression of, well, what they found logical.
Right.
And that was basic, you know, that was the basis of James Cameron's.
Yeah, I mean, it's an idea that's been done.
The story, not the machine.
Right, but I mean, it's an idea that has been told, you know, that story's been told other times since then. But this might have been the first right. time that we saw really anything like that.
I don't know enough about, like, did Orwell do the same thing? Was it kind of I don't know if he told a story like that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Previous to this, but in my, you know, my memory, knowing that this is from 79, it's like the first time for me.
Yeah. I mean, because in 2001, you had HAL, which was a computer, but it wasn't sentient. Like, it wasn't a living computer. Well, actually, technically it was, though, right? Because it went on the offensive, so it must have taken on some. Now, again, I'm trying to remember,
but I don't
2001.
Think it did.
I don't remember that movie all that well. I read that book years and years and years ago. And I've probably only seen the movie once, because I didn't think I was that great of a movie either.
I didn't either. It was too slow.
But as far as I can tell, he took on some kind of human qualities, because, you know, he went on the offensive against the human characters. And I don't know if that was told before the Star Trek movie or not.
But I don't think, if I remember right, HAL didn't do it. He did it out of a protective state. They tried to shut him down, I think, first or something like that, right? He didn't just do it out of, like, he didn't come to the conclusion that people were bad.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Like I said, I don't know. Some people will correct us, I'm sure, but.
Yeah, that's fine. Do you want to move on to Picard?
Sure.
All right, let's get into Picard. I'll play this trailer. I really think this one deserves the trailer. And then we'll come back and talk about Picard.
Have you ever been a stranger to yourself?
Many, many times. Nearly 2 decades ago, Commander Data sacrificed his life for me. These past few years, I really tried to belong here. But it never truly felt like home.
Do you know who I am? Everything inside of me says that I'm safe with you.
Admiral, I have encountered a woman. She came to me for help. If she is who I think she is, she's in serious danger. She's the end of all. She's the destroyer.
What the hell are you doing out here, Picard? Saving the galaxy?
Engage. I don't want the game to end.
I can see that, Captain.
All All right. First thing I'm going to say about this is I got CBS All Access. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
CBS All Access. I got that for you.
Only to watch this show, huh?
And I love it.
I loved it, too.
No. I'm not talking the show. We'll get to that in a second. I like CBS All Access.
Why is that?
I bought it and I got the commercial free.
Yeah.
So I get all my shows now and my wife and I watch a ton of CBS shows. I actually get my news on there now.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is nice. I started looking. Do the other channels do, like, does ABC do this? Does NBC do this?
No, CBS is the only one that does it.
Yeah, it does it this way.
Well, it does it with a commercial-free option. ABC and NBC don't.
This is the way I want to go. Yeah. I'm like, because it is so nice. It's like we watched a few shows the other night, and it's you're flying right through them.
Right.
And it's really nice. It's a pretty good app. I really like it.
Yeah, it's got a good interface. It's got, like,
there's
like,
some other original shows on there, too.
Yeah, I watched... And I don't have the commercial. I'm cheap. I don't have the commercial free version because I don't watch enough shows on it. All I got it for was Discovery, and because I knew Picard was coming up. I don't watch, like, I haven't used it to go back and watch any of the shows that I mean, I watch a lot of CBS shows too, but I'm still just
watching Happy Days.
Yeah. I'm still just watching them from DirecTV. Like, I don't watch them through the app. But yeah, like I said, the app itself is, I mean, I think it's, I don't have any performance issues with it, and it's laid out well, so.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy it. And all the old show, I mean, it has a ton of old shows. It's got some Brady Bunch in there. It's got Happy Days in there. Family Ties.
Well, and like you said, they're starting to, like, I can't even remember what the show was now, but they were advertising another, like, an original show they have coming up.
Yeah.
That looked pretty good. And like they have The Good Fight, which I don't watch, but you know, I used to watch The Good Wife years ago when it was on.
Yeah. So, and The Good Fight's the new version.
It was basically the same show without Juliana Margulies because everything else is exactly the same.
Right.
But yeah, so I think they're going to be producing more exclusive content to get you to get more people enticed into getting this. Cause pretty much right now, if you're not a Star Trek fan, there's no really reason to get it, because most of their original stuff is Star Trek related, except for, like I said, The Good Fight, which I mentioned. But it was really Discovery that put them on the map as far as getting people to get the service.
I'm loving this streaming thing. It's the options are – even my wife is liking it more and more now. The options are so much better. I see a lot of people complaining about the price of streaming and stuff, and I think – not I think. Everything I've seen is if people are complaining about the price of streaming, it's because they're still using cable as well. If you're doing both, then that is expensive. But if you just cut the cord and go to all streaming, it's way cheaper.
I disagree. Because you're doing all your streaming, but you're paying, what, $50 a month for Fubo TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying $50 a month for DirecTV. So, and I'm paying all, like, I'm paying the same amount of money you're paying, and I'm not all streaming. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't think it's drastically cheaper. I think it's the way it's going to go.
Most like, cable, I think, though. Like, if I mean, you I have a deal, though. You don't have the legit thing, and you even said,
But if you keep calling them, they'll keep giving you the deal. Every time I call them to cancel, they whack me back down to $50 again. So,
but that's the thing is, I tried to do that with Dish.
Well, Dish,
and they didn't
Dish
do it. So I dropped them.
Yeah, they're an inferior company to DirecTV because DirecTV will do that. I don't know. They've done it for me 3 years in a row now. Because the 3 years I've tried to kick them, and every time I try to get rid of them, every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Right.
But like I said, I don't think it's drastically cheaper, but I do agree that it's going to be the way – it's the way of the future. I mean, eventually we're all going to be streaming everything.
But the other thing that's nice about streaming is once you get into – a lot of people, like if you have cable, a lot of people are married to that cable idea. Like this is the way you have to have your TV. I was one of those years ago, and the only reason I had Dish for like the last 2 years is because I was still in a contract.
Right.
As soon as that contract was up, I wanted to look into the streaming idea. The key to being to streaming everything is that mindset of be willing to jump to the next and best.
Right.
Because, you know, whatever you have, they're all competing and they're all like, I have a new app that it's just all articles every day. It's on all cord cutting and they're always telling you the next thing that's being updated and stuff like.
Well, right. What's nice like about that. It is you don't have to, you're not in contracts when you're streaming.
Exactly.
So you can switch. Like I could have YouTube TV this week and Fubo next week.
Right.
Or something else the week after. But the problem with all that is I don't want to set up all my stuff every week. You know what I mean? Like I don't right. want to set up all my shows to DVR on YouTube TV and then have to do it all again next week because I switched to Fubo. Like I'm not going to switch every week to save $4. You know, and have to do all that work again. So,
but if, yeah, to save $4, no. But if everybody, if a bunch of channels like went like CBS did, you don't even need the DVR.
You don't, but again,
everything's there.
I've told you commercial this before. Free. It's not so much that I need the DVR.
Right.
It's that I need to remember.
That's your reminder.
I need to remember what to watch. Otherwise, right. I'll forget.
Like, you know what you should do is listen to the Bright Side chat.
I know. But if I don't have something telling me to go to CBS and watch Young Sheldon, I'll forget right. about it. And now,
right.
granted, I probably wouldn't miss it anyways. But
right.
but the DVR for me is just a crutch to tell me what I
watch. Oh, I love the DVR.
It just tells
I have
me
it
what
football.
I watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. No, I know. It's a way of life.
Yeah.
And you want to have that. It's like I have my buddy Derek. He doesn't have a DVR. And I'm like, he has Charter and he's actually saving, but I have a DVR with Fubo and right. I'm paying like, I think it's $15 a month and we have like identical services,
right?
Internet included. And it's like, when you add it all up, I'm paying $15 more than him.
Right.
And it's, you know, and that's still, like I said, that's $100. I'm still saving over $100 compared to when I had Dish.
Right.
So I'm like,
well, and adding, I was going to kick it. I was going to kick DirecTV 3 years in a row, but every time
right.
I call them to cancel, they
right.
they bring me back down because they're like, "Well, where are you going?" It's like, "Well, I'm going to go to YouTube TV. It's $50 a month." I said, "Well, we'll get you to that." Okay, you know, I mean,
exactly.
If they're going to keep me there, I keep staying with them because right. I like the convenience that, like I said, my DVR is already programmed. I don't have to mess with it. You know,
yeah.
I don't have to do all that stuff. So now. That when the day comes that they won't match that deal anymore, I'm out the door. Like, cause I'll go somewhere else. But,
right.
I don't know why we're talking about this now, but.
Cause it was, well.
It's just a tangent.
Oh, let's get to Picard then.
All right.
I really, really enjoyed this show.
Yep.
I have, as I said earlier, I have zero Star Trek background other than the fact that I know who, like, Kirk is.
Right.
But this show, I have zero background.
Right.
I don't even know the actual show, the title of the show that this is supposed to be coming from.
Right. Which is Star Trek The Next Generation.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I have an idea, but I couldn't, you know. Anyways.
And
I thought this show did a great job for people like me.
Right. So here.
And from what I understand, it did an awesome job for people, like tons of fan service.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say. Like you can definitely like this show coming in cold like you did, but
yeah.
like for instance the scene in the beginning with him and Data on the ship has no
yes.
resonance for you, like you
no,
know what I mean it means
no.
nothing
and you
to
know
you.
What I watched
but for me it was like you know tear you know it's like
yeah.
I'm like
really
it really was emotional. Now I mean I don't cry ever but I mean but it was emotional you know what I mean like
right
it meant something to fans because they're invested.
Right.
So I think it did a good job of walking that line, like you said, because you came in cold and just liked the show.
I even loved that scene.
Yeah.
I love the conversation. Like, so obviously for fans like you, there was a lot of emotion there.
Right.
The idea of the scene and what he picked up on in that,
right.
in that poker game.
Exactly.
And all that was a lot of fun. And that to me said a lot about Picard. Like, I had an idea on who Picard was.
Well, right.
It's not like I've never seen the news.
But
that, even that opening scene, it gave you so much information as a newbie, if you will, that, you know, right away you were invested in this.
Well, right. But like I said, for us, you know, the interaction with Data, and he says, I didn't want the game to end. Like, that's really emotional. It was good for fans.
Oh, I felt the emotion of that.
But the other part of it was that, like, throughout the 7 years of that TV show being on the air, I don't want to say it was every episode, but there was a weekly poker game. Like, they played a lot of poker. But Picard was never in the game. It was all the officers and it was all everybody else always playing.
Oh, really?
But Picard never joined. But the very last scene of the very last episode, Picard sits down and joins the poker game. So to open this season on the poker game was like, you know, such a callback to that show.
Right.
Because, you know, he makes the comment that he didn't know that he would be welcome, you know, because who wants to play with their boss? You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, they all said, you were always welcome, you know. So, I mean, it had a lot of emotion. And, like, that callback to that, again, for fans was awesome.
Right.
And then, like, the scene where he goes back to Starfleet and he goes into his, like, his memory chamber or whatever, you know, whatever it was.
But, like,
the banner is from an episode of the show. So, I mean, there was a lot of callbacks
for the
fans. But then this was an entirely new show. Like I said, I mean, the action, the story.
Yeah.
It was all brand new. So I think
it's. Did you watch the show with Will Wheaton?
Which.
There's a show that's going to follow every episode.
Oh, no. I didn't even know that.
Oh.
Oh, I need to find that.
So when you're on CBS All Access, scroll down below. Go to Picard, right?
Yeah.
And scroll down below the episode and you'll see it there. And it's, I can't remember the name of it. But it,
I didn't even know. Yeah. It's like an after
It's an after show. Okay. And this week he interviewed the set designer and the showrunner. It was really good. And I highly recommend this show. And I know that's a tall ask of our listeners to say, get CBS All Access and watch this show.
Right.
But I highly recommend this show. If you're a fan of, like, if you're listening to us, you're going to be a fan of this show.
Yeah.
'Cause we both really like it. And you have two extremes here. It's like, I know you're a huge star. You're as big a Star Trek as you are Star Wars.
Yes.
And I've never seen it.
Right.
Or I have, like, limited knowledge.
Right.
And this show was so well done. And, but yeah, that little after show that they do, and they're going to do it after every one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to, yeah, I'll definitely watch that.
23 minutes long this latest week. And I'm looking forward to the next one as much as I am to the next episode of Picard.
Right.
And just because for me, it gave a lot of background to a lot of the stuff you said, like that sign in that scene that was, and supposedly in that episode, Picard didn't like that sign or something, didn't it? There was something about that in the past that they didn't like.
I mean, I remembered the sign, but I don't remember all the.
They really
although
get
I've probably
into
seen the episode a dozen times. I've seen that show multiple times over.
Really?
But yeah, so again, for fans, we're going to get reintroduced to Riker and to Deanna Troi. Like, we're going to see these characters going forward. For you, it's going to be like first meetings of all these people. But
did you hear what happened? I think it was today or was it this week? He was on.
Oh, with Whoopi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard that last
and
week.
He asked her to be on.
Yeah.
They asked and like he did it on the show.
Right.
On what is it? The View?
The View.
Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Cause she was on a couple of seasons of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I didn't see The View. I heard the story.
Yeah. I didn't see
it
either, but
I guess she was pretty emotional.
Yeah.
About
she
it.
Cried. Like she was,
yeah.
It was a big thing. Yeah. Cause she was a recurring character. And it would make sense for her to be able to come back knowing her character.
Okay.
Like I said, there's going to be a lot like,
that new character I really like too.
The girl.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name now, but basically Data's daughter.
Yeah, I'm trying to go kind of spoiler free, but yeah,
sorry.
It's like, but I mean, it's right at the beginning.
Yeah,
it's a good. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that story, and like I said, it's like for somebody coming in, it's like, and I'm looking forward to you and I talking.
Yeah,
about
it seems like it's going to be a fun ride. Like it really looks like it's going to be a lot.
How many
of fun.
Episodes is it?
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't.
And I know there's a season two, because that's
already,
what they asked Whoopi to be on.
Season two is already planned. But like I said, you know, I think, I don't know when she's going to be introduced, but Jeri Ryan, who plays Seven of Nine, is going to play a big part in this season. She was from Star Trek Voyager, so she was from a completely different show.
Right.
But so they're bringing, like I said, there's going to be a lot of callbacks to, you know, to the old show, but this is definitely going to be a story that goes forward. And like I said, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I really can't wait for the next episode. This is one of those ones that, you know, I'm going to savor it week to week because I'm going to enjoy it. But if it was all here now, I'd be done with it already. You know, I would have binged this whole thing and been done. So,
yeah. And that's why I like the week to week.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to give us the opportunity to talk about it. And, you know, it just binging's fun for a few things, but I like having this.
Yeah. Like I said, I go both ways. You know, like I watched October Faction on Sunday on Netflix.
How was it?
It was good. It was really good, actually.
Was it?
Yeah. Another one that, you know, really makes me want to go pick up the graphic novels and read it. Because, again, this was one season. There's, I think, 6 volumes of the graphic novel right there. So, and I'm really looking forward to Lock and Key, and I'll probably binge that whole thing and be done with it. So, you know, like I said, there's something nice about just being able to have it all. But now it's like a year before I get more October Faction. So,
yeah. How many episodes was that?
8. It was 8 episodes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah. You know, again, for me, it was a Sunday. You know, we just picked it up in the morning and we were done around dinner time.
How long are the episodes?
40,
are they
like 40 minutes. 40 minutes? 40 to 45 minutes, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I'll
have to check it out.
Yeah, it was good. I recommend it. But yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to enjoy Picard from week to week, but you know, in some ways, I just wish I had it all because I can't wait for the next one. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. Like coming from DJ, even if you're not a Trekkie or a Star Trek fan, it's just a good show. Like, I think you're going to like it no matter what. If you don't know the characters, it doesn't matter. You know, I think it's going to stand on.
Patrick Stewart's awesome.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
I mean, he's just, yeah. I mean, it's, I could watch.
I mean, he's never been in a bad role. I mean, I can't think of anything I've seen him
in. He should have been in Star Trek The Motion Picture. Would have made it a hard time better. Been.
So I guess getting back to that, because you're saying you didn't watch any of those movies either then? Like, you didn't watch any of the Next Generation movies?
No, I've never seen
those. So you watched the first few Star Trek movies, the original crew, but you didn't go on.
I watched, I think I probably saw the motion picture, the first one, once when I was a kid. I saw Wrath of Khan a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And this is all on HBO when we got cable in the mid-80s, right? Well, 82, 83, whenever we got it. And
like,
so Wrath of
Khan, was like my go-to,
Search for Spock.
Search for Spock was my go-to movie one summer that I watched like literally every night. Like I've seen that movie. Yeah. 50 times.
See, I didn't see it like that. I saw it when it was on HBO. I mean, Wrath of Khan was HBO.
I had the VHS tape, and it was like, that was my go-to.
Yeah.
Like, one summer, it's like, I watched
it. What was the one with the whales?
That's 4. Search for Home or...
Something like that, or Welcome Home. Or
Search for Home.
Yeah, I think I saw that once.
Yeah.
I think I saw that one once or twice.
I saw that one a bunch of times too. Now the next
Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock.
Undiscovered Country was another one that I think I only saw one time. That one was not Undiscovered Country. Whatever the one where they find God, I can't even. I don't remember what it was called. That wasn't very good either. So,
but yeah, like all of the newer stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think now. You know what I did see is I saw the Chris Pine.
Right. But you didn't see Generation
really
where you had Kirk and Picard, and that's kind of that was like the handoff, and then all the movies after that were like Next Generation.
But I have them here. I have 6 of them.
Right. Well, that would be all. Yeah, that wouldn't get you into the next gen movies, though. I don't think.
Well, it does say I think out of these 6, it has Picard's.
Well, it might have It probably has Generations, which is the like I said, that was the transition movie, and then there was a couple of Next Gen movies. So I guess that'll be fun too, because I didn't realize you never saw any of those either.
Yeah.
So those would be good to go through when we get up to those movies too, because some of those are actually pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to expanding my horizons. Yeah.
Next Generation was one of those shows that I actively rebelled against for a long time. Because
what do you mean?
Well, because I was such an original series fan. Like, I loved Star Trek. Yeah. So when Star Trek The Next Generation came out, again, I don't know when it came out. I was probably 17 years old, but I was already had the old man get off my lawn thing going on because I was like, this is not my Star Trek. Like, what is this nonsense right. that we're watching, you know?
And now look at
and
you.
And like I said, I rebelled against it forever. And then I was up at UMass visiting friends one weekend, and we were sitting in the dorm room waiting to go somewhere. We were going to go out that evening, and we were just killing time. Yeah. And an episode of Next Generation came on TV, and we just watched it. And, like, I was hooked. And, like, I went home, and I watched – I got caught up to however many – it was probably two seasons deep by then. And then I watched it week to week. But, I mean
– how did you catch up back then? There was no
I don't know, just reruns or.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somehow it was our, once it hit syndication, I guess I got caught.
Right. You must have.
And I don't know that I saw them all in.
Setting the timer on your DVD, on your VCR.
I don't know that I saw them all in order at first, but I got relatively caught up. And then,
but they're episodic though.
They are.
For the most part.
Right. I didn't have to know anything. I just kind of started watching it and then got caught up on it. But then I was hooked and, you know, I really end up, it ended up being much superior. Like, it is the better show. Like, it is way better than the original series. I mean, well production-wise...
A lot of stuff is better now than it was back
then.
Well,
I mean, production-wise, it was obviously better. But, I mean, even just the show, the character... Like, it was a better show. Like, I really liked it a lot.
I think it's funny. We've been doing this almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
And this is our first time talking Star Trek.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm kind of getting it all out there because we've never really brought any of this up before.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, I know you and I have talked about it. You told me how much you love it. You and I have talked about it in the past. But
yeah, I was so against it. You know, I was so against that show. I was like, I cannot.
That's funny.
Yeah. I was like, that is not Star Trek for me. And
yep, look at you now. Yep. And I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
I'm excited for all of it.
I'm excited to see you get into it. Like, I know we're not going to go back and do all the old episodes because, I mean, it would take years to do that. But, I mean, even if you come up.
I'm free on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Even if you just come up to, you know, get caught up on the movies and stuff. Like,
I'd be
excited to see you going through it and see if you actually like it or not.
I'll tell you.
You might find yourself going back and watching some of the old shows if you like it enough, you know.
So, well, I'm getting that out of Picard.
Yeah.
I'm really, like, so right now I'm doing, obviously, the Clone Wars. We got to get that done before the, because I've never seen that show, so I need to get that done. I'm almost done with
that. I really want to get it done, too.
Three quarters of the way done.
Even though I have seen them, you know, again, I watched them at my store, you know, in the background, and I watched them, you know, episodes years ago. So, I mean, I don't remember any of them. So, yeah, I definitely want to get
done. When that's done, I'm looking for a show, because every morning I get up and watch a show before it. That's my wake up time, you know, something to wake me up before I work out and go to work.
Right.
So I usually take an hour or so to watch a show.
Well, there's seven seasons of Next Generation, so.
And what are they, 40 minutes long?
40, yeah. Yeah, they were 60 minutes. Yeah, they were regular 1 hour episodes, so without commercials,
42
minutes.
Probably
40, 42 minutes.
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, I don't
do one a day. It takes you.
I haven't gone back and checked it. I don't know where they live right now. I don't know if they're on CBS All Access or if they're on Netflix still.
They are. They are on a CBS All Access, has everything.
For a while,
it's
they were on Netflix.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah. But I would imagine all the Star Trek properties went to All Access. So.
Yeah, they have everything there. They'd be foolish not to with,
well,
you know,
yeah, but
for people
I
like
know,
me watching Picard and then being like, hey, I'll check this out.
Well, it just depends on where the rights are, you know, because I know Netflix had them all because I watched them all on Netflix recently. Well, not recently, but since I've had the store, that was one of the things I played on my TV for a while, was all seven seasons of five different Star Trek shows.
Speaking of which, we talked last week about Arrow. That season 8 is dropping Wednesday on Netflix.
That's quick.
Yeah, well, it's supposedly
well,
the
usually,
contract
yeah.
is like 7 days after the series.
Yeah, I was going to say usually when they're in the early summer, because the shows end in May and usually they show up in June. So it's just that this one happened to end in January.
It's 7 days. Yeah, it's supposed to be 7 days. It's any show that premiered before the fall of 2019, I think it was. Maybe it was 2018. I read the contract last week, and it said that Arrow will drop on what is that? February 5th,
right?
Which is Wednesday.
The problem is you couldn't binge it. You couldn't binge it now because all of Crisis won't be there.
Have to.
No, but I'm just saying, right, like if you were somebody that, because certain people, a lot of people wait till it goes to Netflix.
Right.
You technically couldn't do it until all the other shows go on.
Because you're going to be missing
four shows. You can watch the first five episodes, and then the last five you can't watch because...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be weird to have them on there.
But that's supposed to be there on Wednesday. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff, bunch of information on what's going to land and when and where it's going, whether it goes to HBO Max and for all that CW stuff. But that's in the springtime. I'll be very interested to see we are very interested to see what's going to land where, because...
Well, yeah,
because
May will be...
Doom Patrol is going to be on HBO Max. What happens to DC Universe? What happened? I mean, it's a whole other...
Yeah.
Hey, it's all good for us, though. Content, content, content.
Yep.
All right. You got anything else on... I know we're done with Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to turn the Blu-ray into a coaster. No, actually, I got to save it for the next time you're up here.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Get some beers, watch that.
I'll need some beers to get through it again, to be honest with you. It'll be another 30 years before I watch it again.
I think we would have a blast watching that. Yeah. We would just be laughing and, I mean... Yeah.
That scene in the beginning where the two crewmen died in the transporter, like that was excruciating to watch.
It's like, then Kirk, do you have them? They're not what they were.
What we got back didn't live long, thankfully.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But that screaming and all that stuff, I was like, oh my god, this is so bad.
and so long.
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Even when who was it? McCoy. Even when McCoy beamed up to the ship, you know, in the old show, it happened in about 5 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
And here it was like 10 minutes, you know? I was like, oh my God.
Speaking of that, did you know, maybe, I thought this was cool, but did you notice on Picard, you beamed from place to place?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's happened in other shows as well, but it looks like a metal detector and you walk through on one side and show up where you want to be on the other side.
Yeah. I guess it's just the next evolution of the transporters, because they always had pads. You transport it from pad to pad,
right? But you saw like when he was walking up to that like museum or whatever, wherever. But people were coming through, and like there's nobody there, and then all of a sudden you just saw the bright light, and they show up and they walk through.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's set up like a door frame, like a metal detector, and people just beaming themselves through.
Right.
Oh, and the other one was, you see I think that is San Francisco, right? The Golden Gate Bridge?
Starfleet's always been in San Francisco.
Yeah, so. But the bridge is solar panels?
Yeah.
I never saw that before. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because everything flies.
Yeah, you don't need bridges
anymore. You don't need
a bridge. Which is funny I guess they kept it for nostalgia's sake, right?
They turned it into a solar.
Well, right, but I'm saying they could have just gotten rid of it. You just don't need it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't even need ships, really. You can just beam everywhere.
That's what I said. That's what I said to my wife. I was like, well, it's funny. What do you even need a ship for?
Right, all the shuttles and all that stuff. Like, I can see, yes, you need ships to go into space, but I don't know why anybody's flying around Earth in ships if you can beam everywhere. Maybe it's expensive. Maybe you have to be rich to have a transporter.
To be beamed.
Although they have done away with money in the 24th century, so I don't know why anybody needs money for anything. So,
all right, did we talk you out of Star Trek The Motion Picture, and did we talk you into Picard? Let us know what you think on Twitter at brightside_chat. or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And we're on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Oh, go to, if you're on iTunes, please rate, review, and subscribe. That'd be great.
Help us build our brand.
There you go. Look. Oh, wow. Are you going to start doing these closings with me?
No, I just wanted to be on, awesome. I wanted to be on brand.
There you go. On brand. Oh, man. What do we got coming up on Wednesday?
We have Adler issue number 1 coming out. We have Ant-Man number 1, Dark Agnes number 1, and the one I'm really looking forward to, Star Wars Darth Vader number 1.
Yes. Yes, I'm really looking forward to that. I've read a few previews, a couple behind the scenes things on Eve 1 and 2. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
one.
Me too.
That's going to be fun. All right, I think we know. Oh man, should we promise we're going to be talking about that one? You know what happened last week when we promised?
Yeah.
Somehow I think Marvel will do a little better job.
Darth Vader
with Darth
1
Vader
will be better than
they did with,
yeah, it'll be better Protector. Than Protector number 1. I don't know. I don't want to promise. I mean, we'll definitely talk about it, but if there's indie books, those are probably the ones I'll read for the show.
I'll read them all. I'm starting to list more.
Yeah.
If I read a bunch, I'll list them all. Especially last week where we had, you know, that big negative.
Yeah.
We needed to balance it out with a few others. So, yeah, I'm going to list everything that I've read.
Sounds good.
That's it. We will see you on Thursday morning.
All right.
Have a great week.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.